So today we're going to go to the sixth reading. We're going to leave the Meraglim behind in the dust. A whole generation is not going to make it to the land of Israel. However, the next generation will. And one of the things that's going to happen upon arrival, verse 19 of chapter 15. So one of the things that's going to happen is Vahoya, pardon me, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, verse 18. Speak to the children of Israel, the Amarta Aleim, you say to them, Bevoy Achem, El Haaretz, when you come to the land, Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama, that I'm going to bring you there. Vahoya Ba'acholchem Milechem Haaretz, when you'll eat from the bread of the land, Tarim Otrum Ola Hashem. You'll give an offering. You'll raise up an offering to Hashem. So what does this mean? What does it mean when it says, Bevoyachem, when you'll come to the land of Israel? So Rashi says, Mishune biyezu mikol biyes. This arrival is different than all other arrivals shebetayra. For all over the Torah, when it speaks about arrival in the land of Israel, it says, Kitavo, when you will come. Kitavau, when you will come. More of a plural. Lefichach. Kulam lemedes zumizu. Therefore, we can learn one arrival from the other arrival, so to speak. In other words, these arrivals introduce mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs are, Bekevan sheparat lecha kosov ba'achas mehem. Since the Torah enumerated with regard to one of those arrivals, or one of those mitzvahs that's applicable upon arrival. She'enei ela la'acha yerusha v'yeshiva. That the mitzvah only takes root in the land after having arrived, inherited, and settled. And we know that this was something that took quite a bit of time, 14 years to be exact. Afkulon came. So it is, all these mitzvahs that are contingent upon arrival in the land of Israel, they're contingent upon coming to the land of Israel, conquering the land, settling the land, then the mitzvah goes into effect. However, this one is different. Here it says, Bevoyachem. Bevoyachem means when you arrive. Not when you will come. Not when you will officially take it. When you arrive, upon arrival. Mishenichnesu ba, the moment they come into the land, va'ochlu milachma, they eat of its bread, nischayvu b'chala. This mitzvah of a gift, which is called chala, is something that's applicable immediately. So in other words, you need to know that when it comes to chala, it's immediate. All other mitzvahs, it's only after coming to the land, settling the land, apportioning the land. But here it's immediate. It's immediate. The Ksava Kabbalah says that the term bevoyacha means when you come. Ki tavo is more like a formal thing. When you will come. When you will come means when you will settle in. It's like the difference in English between telling somebody, when you settle in, when you come, then so and so will get together. Or here it says, immediately upon arrival. Upon touchdown, call me right away. I need to know this right away. So here it's Bevoyachem. The Ksava Kabbalah explains it means immediately. He's not deviating from Rashi, incidentally. He's explaining Rashi. So this is the very unusual mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that speaks about taking a piece of the dough and giving it to the Kohen. Now the strange thing is that even though we talk about dough, in verse 19 it says, V'hoya ba'acholchem. It says when you'll eat. So it's not upon arrival. It's upon edible. What does that mean? Why does it say, V'hoya ba'acholchem? Rashi doesn't really talk about this. And the Ksava Kabbalah says that this is to tell you that lechatchila, although originally what's supposed to be done is that you give it when it's in a state of dough, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can sometimes be later on also. And he says something very interesting. We know you have to make a certain amount of flour, a certain amount of dough, in order to be able to fulfill this mitzvah. So what if somebody needs a smaller amount of dough and bakes it? And then needs another small amount of dough and bakes it. And they go together into the same bread basket. Or together into the same pantry. Maybe even together into the same freezer. So when it reaches the amount of dough which is necessary, or the amount of bread which is necessary, that's when you have to give challah. Now, it says lechem ha'aretz. It doesn't say the dough of the land. It says specifically the bread of the land. Because challah is only applicable to the five grains. And that's what's called bread in Torah literature. So it says, Le'al Alechem Levadei. This is the 5 grains. The 5 grains are called bread. The rest is not called bread. So therefore, we talk about the idea of be'acholchem, when you'll be ready to eat midlechem haaretz. Verse 20. So what should you do? Upon arrival, immediately, when you're about to eat, tarimu truma, you're going to give a gift. And now the Torah explains what this gift might be. Reishis ariseseichem, your firstlings of your dough, challah, tarimu truma. That's challah. You should give it as a gift. And you should do it ketrumas goyden, just the same way you give the truma, the gift from the silo, from the grain that's been gathered, or for that matter, as we're going to learn from the grapes or the olives and so on and so forth. Kein tarimu oisa. So too, you should take a gift from this dough. So here we have a Rashi. Reishis ariseichem. Why does it say the beginning of your dough? So Rashi says, kishetolushu kedei as isaschem. Once you knead the amount of dough that you need. So it's all about kneading. Sha'atem regilim lolosh b'midbar, the amount of dough that you would have kneaded in the desert. V'chama, how much is that? It says that they measured it with the Omer chalice, the Omer cup. And it says there was an Omer legal goylus. And Rashi tells us that our sages say that the presumed amount is 43 eggs and the fifth of an egg, which incidentally is spelled out in the word challah, because challah is 35, and then you add the idea of, challah is, ches and lamed is 38. So that gives you, and then you add hay, the 5, what does it give you? 43. There's your 43 eggs. So, mereishisa, from its beginning, that means, koidim shetoichel emeno, before you eat from it. The first thing you should do is take challah. What is challah? So challah means like a loaf. The point of challah is that it should be complete, not crumbs, not little pieces, not leftovers. Reb Chaim Paltiel says challah is like an uga, like a cake. And the Ksava Kabbalah says something very interesting. We know that which is sacred is called kodesh. That which is mundane is called chol. So he says challah means that which makes this mundane. When you first start to knead the dough, it's sacred. It has to be set aside for Hashem. It has something holy in there. Once you set the dough aside, the challah makes chulin. The challah that you set aside enables it to be eaten by everybody else. And this is, of course, the mitzvah of challah. Incidentally, Jewish women have from time immemorial honored the Holy Shabbat by baking special bread. And what's the natural name we call that bread? Challah. Even though challah here you don't eat. The challah is the dough that's given to the kohen. But nonetheless, because it's connected to this mitzvah, and many people observe this mitzvah, because even though in today's day and age, the bakery is a much simpler solution than baking your own bread. Nonetheless, in order to do the mitzvah once a week, if you need your own dough once a week, you get to do the mitzvah. And that's the whole story of challah. That's what you hear about people baking. Challah baking and so on and so forth. Of course, you might ask me, 1 second, it says b'vayachem. It says when you come to the land of Israel. That it says, b'acholchem ilechem aretz. How are we taking challah here in Thornhill, in Canada? This is not the land of Israel. The answer is very simple. Our sages ordained that in order to remember the way things are supposed to be, that even outside of Eretz Yisrael, we'll still take challah. But actually, this is not the biblical mitzvah. It's only a rabbinic mitzvah, which is nonetheless a big mitzvah. It's an opportunity for holiness. The Torah says, the Torah further emphasizes, Meireishis ariseseichem tarima, from the firstling of that dough you'll give. And you give this as a gift for Hashem, and it's just the way you give from all of your other gifts. So the same way that you give from, you have to tithe the produce, that which is harvested, so too, you also have to, so to speak, tithe the dough that you needed. So this is only once the flour particles have mixed water, once they've come together to form a single entity, which we call dough. What you need to know is that a little bit of that dough will be separated and given to the kohen.
Okay. This is only b'vayachem? This is
one only b'vayachem. No, it's continuous, but it begins once you arrive in the land of Israel.
Once you arrive.
So what should we follow that with? Verse 22, Chis is guvalei sasu es kol ha-mitzvahs. If you'll make a mistake, you won't do all the mitzvahs. How could you make such a mistake? Not do all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs. The 630 mitzvahs you just don't do all of a sudden. So Rashi tells us, you know what all the mitzvahs mean? Chis is guvalei sasu, that this is talking about the sin of idolatry. And because the sin of idolatry is considered so severe, so this is talking about Haisa Bechlal Kol HaMitzvahs. It's like inclusive of all the mitzvahs. And we say Sha'atzibur Mevin Aleha Par, that when the community, when the congregation commits a sin in unison, they have to bring a special offering. Bahare HaKosav Meitziah Mikan Miklalon Lidun B'Par La'ela V'Sar L'Chata. So here we're going to talk not about the sin of the public, but the sin of the individual. Okay, so we're talking about an offering. The offering is brought to atone for the sin of idolatry. Simple question. How did we go from the story of dough into the story of idolatry? What's the seamless lead on? We're talking about needing to knead the dough and then needing to give it to as a gift to the Kohen. And the next thing we'll talk about is Kol Mitzvah Hashem. So this is the question we're going to try to address today. In the Biurim book, we're going to pick it up on page Resh Lamed Gimel. Simen Chavav. So this is a very, very old question. And the old question is, Lama Nismecha Parshas Chal LaParshas Avodah Zarah. I am reading a quote from the Magdash Rabbah Vayikra Rabbah. It says, why is the Parsha, the Torah narrative that's talking about the mitzvah of Challah, why is it juxtaposed to the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah? What's the connection? How does one, so to speak, lead, flow, or bleed into the other? Says the Vayikra Rabbah, I'll tell you. Shekol ha-mekayim mitzvahs challah, if you take care of that little piece of dough, ki'ilu bitel avodah zarah, it's as if you nullify the concept of idolatry. V'chol ha-mevatel mitzvahs challah, but if you don't do the mitzvah of giving a little piece of dough, ki'ilu kiyam avodah zarah, as if you fulfilled, you sustained the concept of idolatry. Now you may ask yourself, what does that mean? Deb asks, Ma kesher b'mitzvah safrashas challah? What's the difference in separating a little piece of dough, which is a mitzvah maisius, pshuta, a simple act of separating dough? It doesn't take tremendous effort. It doesn't take the marshaling or mustering of mind. And a simple thing to take out a piece of dough. How did that all of a sudden become tantamount or equal to the iser, the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, which is a yesod ha'emuna? It's the foundation of our Jewish faith. Mamash, the foundation. This is when Hashem spoke to us at Mount Sinai, face to face. There's only two things He said to us directly. Number one, I am your God. That's really important. Number two, don't have any other gods. Which is not hard to understand. Like the meaning of a marriage in a positive way could mean, you are the one, and there is no other one. So God said, I'm in a marriage with you. I want exclusivity. I want absolute devotion. I am the one, and there is no other one. Don't have any other ones. That's not okay. You could have friends. You can't have another God. You can have friends. You can't have another spouse. I'm the one. God wants an exclusive relationship with us. All right, that's fine. Understood. Foundational. How does that equal to a piece of dough? I mean, dough is nice. It's nice to have challah to eat. But really? Like, nismecha Parshas Challah l'Avodah Zarah. The Parsha of Challah is juxtaposed to Avodah Zarah to tell you that if you do Challah, bitel Avodah Zarah, you knock down the Avodah Zarah. If you fulfill, really? Fulfilling this mitzvah, giving a little dough, that's it? You took away, you removed the possibility of having foreign loyalty, of worshipping another God?
Is this the Rebbe claiming that? Or is this
the Medrash Rabbah? The Medrash, our sages said it. The Rebbe's asking, explain, what did the sages mean?
Okay.
The first thing we didn't understand is the juxtaposition of verses. Okay, that we don't understand. The sages come along and they give an explanation, which is even harder to understand. Really? If you keep this mitzvah, it's as if you have nullified all of idolatry. Don't keep this mitzvah. You held that little piece of dough for yourself. You fulfilled idolatry. Okay, let's talk about that. What does it mean, bitl avodah zarah and kiyum avodah zarah? What does it mean, you nullified or fulfilled? How do you fulfill idolatry? What does that mean? As if there's like an idol in front of us. Either you sustained this idol or you destroyed the idol. You took away his lifeblood or you gave him vitality. What does it mean? There are more common or accepted or typical expressions with regard to idolatry. For example, we'll say somebody who's koifer b'avodah zarah, somebody who denies the existence of other deities, or somebody who's moida b'avodah zarah. He acknowledges. He bows his or her head in submission, says, yes, yes, there's another power. God is a power. There are other powers. I need to keep my bases covered. I got problems. So I'll worship a little god, a little kishka, a little this one, a little that one. I have to worship many gods. You know, who knows? How do we end up with this idea of kiyam and bittul, fulfilling or nullifying? So the Rebbe says that there is a beautiful explanation to this if you follow the pathways and see things illuminated by the prism of Torah HaSidus. Here's the Hasidic interpretation. Mitzvah safrashas chala, the mitzvah of separating a piece of dough, noyada kedei lohavias adam lahakara bekach, comes along to bring a person into the recognition and awareness. Shehal lechem, that the bread, which is misame lechol tzarchi adam, bread is ultimately emblematic of people's needs. Like people will say, give me my daily bread. What does that talk about? Only bread? How about baba ganoush? Maybe a little french fries too? What's only bread? Bread is a euphemism. So the euphemism of bread represents a person's needs. Like Yaakov Avinu, he said, when he woke up in the morning from his ufaratz, the dream vision, his prophecy, and he said to God, he made a vow. What was his vow? If God will be with me, then asati lechem lechel. He gave me bread to eat. Yaakov is cheap. All he wants is some bread. He's a cheap date. He didn't ask for steak. He didn't ask for anything else, just bread. Now, obviously, bread is more than bread. Bread represents a person having their needs met. So when a person has bread, the question is, how'd you get your bread? How'd you earn your bread? So people might say, what do you mean? How did I earn it? I'm really smart. I work really hard. And it's mine. I did this all by myself. No. That's the wrong idea. Rather, how should a yid look at the fact that he got his or her bread? You should say, it's a matana shumakabel meir kadosh baruch hu. It's a gift from God. And what do we say? To quote the pasuk later on in Parshas Ekev, which speaks about the concept of receiving parnasa, and then eating the bread, and experiencing satiation, and then blessing God for it. What do we say? What's it about the Berachat Hamazon? Because he, noisen lecha koyach lasas, who gives you the ability to do valor. So people say, I'm amazing. I'm great. I built a company. I made a lot of money. I say, relax. There are lots of smart people. With one tiny nuance, everything could be gone. Hu hanoisen. You have to remember that who is the gift come from? The gift comes from the Rebbeinu Shlom, from Almighty God. That's what this mitzvah is about. I came home. I brought my grain. I milled the grain. I separated the chaff. I did everything I had to do. I selected the grain. It went through a whole bunch of different sieves. It's pure, beautiful flour. I'm finally going to knead the flour. And I'm going to eat me lunch. So, one second. You need the flour? First, you need to give to the Kohen. What do I give to the Kohen? I'll give to him later. Let him come back tomorrow. Let me enjoy the fruits of my labor. Let me enjoy the bread I earned by the sweat of my brow, says a typical person. And the Torah comes along and says, no. Doesn't work like that. This is not the sweat of your brow. This is the bread that's a gift. It comes from Hashem. When you thank Hashem, and how do you thank Hashem? Immediately by separating a portion for Hashem. And therefore, the Rebbe says, because api chassidus, because based on Hasidic teaching, that's the message, motif, and idea, and ideal of challah, then that's why this mitzvah becomes the polar opposite of Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah, or idolatry, ain't pirusha dafka Avodah Zalilu mamash. A person is an idolater, doesn't actually have to have a little statue that he or she worships and says, you are my God, you are my source, you are my life, you are my... No, it doesn't mean that. If you say there are other powers, how did I make a living? A little bit of God, a little bit of me, a little bit of somebody else that I had to pay a little kickback to. I did what I had to do. But it's all God. It's not all God. Don't give God all the koyach. God has some koyach. God has something to do with this. Not everything to do with this. But Hashem says, Eineg Movade, there's nothing outside of God. So when a person gives challah, I mean, the first thing that he gives, he's finally bringing home some flour. He's going to make himself some bread. And the first thing he does, Meireishis, is give it aside. That makes the clear statement that there isn't God and there's nothing else. Eineg Movade, everything comes from Hashem. So if a person feels that there are other forces of powers, that he has to pay homage to them also, or they are responsible for his success, So then in a sense, he's an idolater. Then he's following the pathway, the fraudulent pathway of success coming from alien sources. And this is the meaning of bitul avodah zarah or kiyum avodah zarah, nullifying or fulfilling. Matzavei hativi shel ha'olam, the nature of our world is, our world lends itself to idolatry. Our world, if you want to, you know, idolatry sounds funny to people. Atheism, denial of God. Our world lends itself to it. People say, scientifically, I can't prove there's a God. Or people will say to you, so many bad people are successful, so many good people are failures, there can't be a God. Give me a break. If there was a God, why wouldn't he do A, B, C, or D? So we have this certitude that it can't be what we think it is, and really that, you know, the world kind of runs itself. Stuff happens. There's Murphy, there's Mother Nature, maybe a little God too. It's not all God. That's what the world lends itself to. However, when a Yid who lives in this world is mekayim the mitzvah of hafrashas challah, he separates that challah. Umevi b'pol azu as hakarasa, he expresses his acknowledgement, his awareness that everything, all of his success, all the bread, is ba hakol makadosh baruch hu, comes from God. So who mevatel b'kachas avodah zarah, he nullifies, he pulls the plug on idolatry. He so to speak, removes and eviscerates the machshava, the thought, which comes naturally in this world, and that is, success comes from many, many sources. Uleidach, however, imeini mekayim mitzvah chala, if it comes a mitzvah chala, say, take that first dough, give it now. He said, I can't do that. I get credit too, I worked hard here. When I'll finish enjoying my fresh bread, when everything is done, then I'll give to God also, because God is also, not only. So when a person does that to manik bekach teikev v'kiyum l'machshava, he actually feeds the notion that God is not only, but also. And that is what idolatry is all about. And so the Torah juxtaposed the mitzvah of challah, which is in a broader sense related to the mitzvah of tzedakah, or caring and sharing, with the mitzvah of idolatry, because really and truly, they ultimately aren't mutually exclusive. In fact, one leads into or nullifies the other. You keep the mitzvah of challah, you know where your success of sources, you mevatel, you nullify avodah zarah. You forget where your success comes from, you think it's has multi-level success or comes from multiple sources, that, my friends, ultimately is what causes the downfall, the domino effect of avodah zarah, of believing that there are other forces at play and that it's not just God. So, let's give a lot of challah. And let us remember that all success comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always.